Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Wealthy Web Writer Teleconference Series. This is Rebecca Matter, and today I'm joined by James Chartrand, owner of the popular blog Men with Pens. Hi, James, and thank you for joining me today.
Thanks very much for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Excellent. So before we get started, I just want to give a quick bio for our members. James is a 30-something copywriter, pro blogger, and online entrepreneur. That is a mouthful. From Quebec, Canada. She's a member of the Professional Writers Association of Canada and a member of faculty at Solo Practice University, where she teaches copywriting, branding, and blogging. Her work can be found across the blogosphere and is frequently featured on top sites such as Copyblogger. James loves the color blue, rock music, her kids, playing guitar, ice skating, and riding horses. And with that, welcome again, James.
Thanks very much.
So to start, I'm sure that people are very surprised to hear that you're a woman and not a man, but we're going to get into that in just a little bit. Because many of our members might not be familiar with you, I'd love for you first to share your story about how you actually got into copywriting.
I used to have a very good corporate job. I worked for 12 years for the same company, and I was a pretty high-level executive. But eventually, the company moved to a distance that was too far for me to travel. I just wasn't interested in commuting, and I decided to go home with a nice severance package. I bopped around at home for a little bit, kept myself busy, and got into some jobs that I found fulfilled me personally but weren't very good income-wise. And after a while, I stepped out of that and realized I had no income left. It's a low-economy area that I live in. Jobs aren't easily available. Winter was coming. I had two kids. I was alone. I didn't know really what to do. And someone suggested I should come online and see if there was any writing work because I was a fair hand with a keyboard. So I did, and my start was one that was $2 for 500 words.
Oh, my.
And I thought that was pretty spectacular at the time. My first paycheck was $8, and I thought that was amazing. I could earn money online. And I quickly realized there's a lot of money to be earned if you play the cards right and you treat it like a business. And I just never looked back from there.
Excellent. And so how did you actually find copy? Is that how you found copywriting specifically?
I started out with articles. A lot of them were those article mills that just, you know, bang out any kind of content, and quality doesn't really count. But I started to find where the jobs are. I browsed Craigslist. I checked on Elance, and I realized that there wasn't that much difference between writing an article and writing for web copy or doing some blogging. So I just expanded my skills a little bit and started going after those jobs.
Excellent. And so when and why did you decide to change your name?
That's a long story. I'm going to try and nutshell it for you. In the beginning, when I did article writing work, there are people who want mass volumes of articles, lots and lots of articles, and I realized that if I hired other people to work with me, I could branch out my business, make more money, get more work coming in, capture more clients. So I needed other writers to work with, but I was already familiar that at that level of the writing world, it's a little catty. It can be difficult. There's a lot of infighting that seems to go on, and most of the writers were women. So that makes it a little harder. I decided I didn't want to be associated as a woman. I wanted to be a little bit anonymous, and I wanted to gain the respect that my clients seemed to receive. They were mostly males. So I chose a male name to hire some writers. And the reaction was phenomenal. The respect was instantaneous, and I realized that if I can get this much respect just from changing my name, what else can I do with it? So I started using the male name with clients, and the same thing happened. More respect, more credibility, people listened to my ideas. That wasn't happening when my name was a female one. So I just pursued it. I didn't see any reason not to take advantage of the fact that there is gender bias out there, and it was easy to go around that perception online.
Now, when you were saying about the cattiness, do you work in a specific niche, or are you a general copywriter?
Right now, I specialize in web copy. I write for websites, people who have small businesses, medium-sized businesses, solo entrepreneurs, this is what I do for them. At the time that I started out, I was just specifically in article writing, and that was my strength.
Okay. And so how has, you know, using the name changed your business? Can you give any specific examples? Are clients surprised when they talk to you on the phone? You know, anything like that?
Nowadays, there's a lot less surprise because people know about it. In December, when the story came out, it was spread widely across the internet, and I was interviewed by some major media out there like AOL Online, Maclean's, Newsweek, Huffington Post. So people are much less surprised now. Those that don't know about it, they pause for a few seconds, but they just pick up and carry on. Business is business. Before the news came out, I did find that people did react to it. They would pause and think a little bit, and then they'd usually burst out laughing and say, what a brilliant idea. I'd never thought of that, and of course it makes sense. So there always was a reaction to deal with.
And so now I actually read your story through a blog post you wrote on Copyblogger called Why James Chartrand Wears Women's Underpants. And
yep.
So I'm assuming, was that around the same time?
That was that came out in December, yes.
In December. Okay, so what happened with that? Can you give us a little bit of background as far as the timing for that article and why it was posted on someone else's blog?
The timing was just that I had found that someone had begun to leak the news about who I really was, and that could affect my business in a very large way. I didn't want to be someone who hid back and waited for the rumors to damage my business. I did this. I'm going to take responsibility for it, and I'm going to grab the biggest microphone I can to tell my story. That was the smartest, best way for me to go about doing some damage control, number one, and number two, showing to people, look, gender bias exists, and this makes a difference. So Copyblogger was the natural choice at the time. It's a huge blog. It's read by both writers and by business people, and I'm good friends with Brian Clark, and he had long ago said, if you ever tell, you come to me. So that's what I did.
Excellent. I love that. You turned a potentially bad situation into an opportunity and basically leveraged from it. That's pretty impressive.
Absolutely. I mean, when you own up to what you've done, whether it's good or it's bad, you're only demonstrating self-confidence and the ability to stand up for yourself. And I think that's what I did. And that was integrity. At the same time, I wanted to keep it off my blog. Because I do run a business, I don't want any damage, and if there's going to be any domino effects from it, I'd rather that someone else have to worry about that and deal with that. I could keep going on, and it was business as usual at my blog. Clients who came to see my site didn't have to see a big fiasco going on. All they saw was a site offering copy and web design. So it just made sense to have that away from me, in a place where it could be easily managed and spread, but still kept me nice and safe and just trucking along.
Excellent. And you're breaking up just a little bit. I'm not sure if you're on a cordless phone or a cell phone.
Oh, sorry about that. I have a landline, but it is a cordless phone.
Okay, yeah, now you sound fine. You were just breaking up there for a second, but we were able to get everything. But it's interesting
okay.
that you say that you kept it away from your own site, because it kind of goes back to where this whole thing started, and that is the cattiness in the industry. I think it's interesting
yeah.
that, in my mind, you handled it, you know, like a stereotypical how a man would handle it, and it's just not dealing with it in your business space. You dealt with it where it needed to be dealt with and continued on with your business as usual.
Yeah, to me, it wasn't anything personal. It wasn't anything that needed to be dragged out and beaten to death or cried over or laughed over. I'm not here to be a circus act. I'm here to earn business, so it's business as usual. And the best way to deal with anything that goes wrong or that goes well is to, you know, just ride the wave and wait until it's over, and you go from there.
Excellent, excellent. I think that's great advice for everyone on the call right now. If something does happen like that, spin it into an opportunity for yourself. You know, own up to things that you do and decisions that you make. And, yeah, this is a great example of how you can really benefit from doing that. So now,
yeah, absolutely.
So let's just talk about your day. You know, I know that you do a lot of different things. What does your typical day look like? How much time do you actually spend writing?
Oh, that's a very good question. I write off and on a day. Let me give you a little bit of my daily routine. I'm usually up between 5 and 6 a.m. every day. First thing I do is I run through email that's come through in the night. Since I'm online, I have a global market, which means that I have a lot of email from people in Australia or the U.K. I look through what I have to do, what I have to respond to, take some time to wake up with some coffee, and I deal with the email. I delegate jobs to my team. I look at what I would have to work on in a day. I usually save my writing work just after that period, somewhere around 9 to 11 a.m. seems to be my best time and my most creative work. So I set to writing a couple of blog posts or doing some web copy at that time. In the afternoon, usually take a little break. I'm a little slower. So I go on to Twitter. I talk a little bit and do some marketing, just have exposure around different places. In the afternoon, I clean up email again. I deal with what's come through during the day. I might write a little more, polish, edit. The evening is more exposure and marketing, and there you go. My day usually ends at about 10 p.m. I have long days and work long hours.
Interesting. Okay. And so are you a believer then in the whole, in the email, as far as productivity goes, checking email twice a day?
Not necessarily. My email is generally open 24/7, and I use two screens. So I work on one screen on writing and whatever I have to do, and the other screen always has my email open. That way I can glance over, I can see if anything needs to be dealt with right away. I found that responding to customers as quickly as possible is just key. The more customer service you can offer them, the better it is. They appreciate speedy time. They appreciate someone who responds, who shows that they're present and alert. Because the thing, too, is that online, the time perception is very different than an offline world. In an offline world, if you leave a phone message, it's okay if it's 24 hours and you don't hear back. In an online world, if it's been 1 hour, people start to wonder, well, what's going on? Is there anyone there? Is there somebody working? Am I going to get an answer? So the faster I can hop on that and deal with it quickly, the better it is. But I generally do try to save emails so that I can answer in runs, which helps me keep high productivity the rest of the time. I deal with what's important right away, and I leave the rest for a couple of hours later.
Excellent. And that's a really good point as well. The more customer service you can provide, the better. I definitely think, especially in this space, that is so important.
I've noticed clients will often say the reason we got the job is because we were there, because we were present. A lot of them, of course, they hire us because we're one of the best, and that's par for the course. But I do know that when we've been put up against competition that has equally good quality and that offers equally good services, very often our speed of response is what will land us the job.
So you all do more than just writing the copy, right? You also do the web design and other aspects of – when we think of web copy, we think of specifically landing pages and the copy itself. But you're more involved in the entire online business, correct?
Yes, that's right. You know, I don't want to limit myself to being the only person who can do the work. It just didn't make sense if I ever wanted to stop doing this and do something else. If I wanted to take a vacation or a break, I wanted a business that was sustainable. And one good way to have a sustainable business is to have many branches, many sources of income, various types of passive income. Another reason that I have a business that does offer different services is because clients like that. They have a one-stop shop. When they come for copywriting, it's usually because they need it for a website. Well, if we can offer both services, the web design, the maintenance, and the copy, well, they only have one person to deal with. So it makes it more convenient for them, more likely to come back to us.
That makes sense. And so would you recommend that, you know, most of the people, our web writers, our copywriters who are part of Wealthy Web Writer, they are open to learning other opportunities, so, you know, video marketing and things like that. Would you then recommend that people learn beyond just writing and or maybe partner with some other people? for their own business?
I highly, highly recommend teaming up and partnering up. I don't necessarily recommend learning skills that are outside what you enjoy doing or where your strengths and talents lie. I find that there's just so much to learn these days that you can get bogged down in learning new things, which takes away focus from earning income and doing business, which is what you're there for in the end.
Right.
We had written a book with Mason Hipp of Freelance Folder. It's called The Unlimited Freelancer, and the whole book is specifically about tapping into ways to be more efficient, to partner up with others, to develop passive income, so that there are many different ways that you can capture that kind of business and bring it into you. And when you team up with others, you can partner with people who have fantastic skills, top skills, and you just make yourself better. You share the client base between you, you share the work between you, and you both become bigger because of it. I find that it's only the loners and the ones who definitely only want to work alone that tend to stay small. The minute people start to branch out and team up, big things can happen.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there that an individual person might be a freelancer, but what you have is a sustainable business. You're running a business as opposed to a worker for hire.
Yeah, absolutely. We really want to try and avoid being considered freelancers, even though that's what we are. We are freelancers. We don't work for a company. But the mental association is that freelancer means alone. So we really want to have the perception that we are a business, an agency, a boutique. It's a much better association to have, especially when you're trying to find clients that have more budget and money to spend on the kind of work that we do.
That makes a lot of sense. So I'd like to talk about your blog a little bit, Men with Pens. How long into your copywriting career did you wait to launch that?
The blog, if I remember well, it was very early 2007 that we launched the blog. And it took a couple of months for it to gain some ground. If you look back through our archives in our earlier posts, you'll see that there are not very good posts, and they don't have a lot of comments. Some don't have any comments at all. But within 3 to 6 months, we had gained some attention, and we found that there was demand for the kind of information that I could share with people. And it just took off from there quite wildly, in fact. The rise to fame was rapid at that time. It's a little harder now to gain that kind of steam and to become a popular blogger, and it takes more hard work. But that's mostly because more people are coming online. There's less opportunity to stand out from the crowd. I was a bit lucky in that I was one of the first people to develop a blog, like Brian Clark. Brian Clark was even earlier than I, and he has resounding fame with Copyblogger today. So timing does have a lot to do with it. But hard work, persistence pays off.
Another good piece of advice. And how has the blog impacted your business?
In various ways. At the time that it began, the blog was crucial to showing off expertise, gaining exposure, clearly conveying to people that I had the skills and I knew what I was talking about. So it was an integral part of my startup. I used guest posting as well extensively. Guest posting and blog commenting to help bring people back to my blog where they could see that I was an authority and that I had something to say and that I had expertise. As time goes on, of course, a blog that grows in size demands more attention, demands higher level copy, more articles, you have readers to maintain. So after a while, it becomes more of a task and less of a pleasure or, something that's enjoyable to do. Now it's a specific marketing strategy, and we have to plan a little bit more what we do with it, how we do it, what we're trying to do with it, and ways to take those blog readers and turn them into customers.
So your blog is not necessarily just, did you start it in the hopes of attracting customers originally, or was it, did you start it for your clients and to attract more clients, I guess?
A bit of both. We did want readers, but we mostly wanted the readers to help attract customers.
Okay.
There's a big social proof that goes along. The more readers you have, the better you must be. Therefore, the higher number of readers you have, the more clients that will come to you thinking that you're an authority.
That makes a lot of sense. So I have a question from one of our members.
Sure.
And this is from Henry, who I think that you know. He was saying that at Men with Pens, you're probably best for blogging, but you're also web designers and copywriters. You sell ad space and e-books, and you seem to personally have a hand in all of it. Do you have any productivity tips for getting that much work done in a week?
He wants all my secrets, doesn't he? Productivity tips. I have to say that having two monitors is a godsend, and in fact, I would have three if I could, simply because I save time. I don't have to bounce between programs or remind myself to check certain things. I have everything that I need right in front of my face at all the time, and it really has been a productivity godsend. I really recommend investing, you know, $200, even on a crappy monitor, just to get that extra real estate in front of your eyes. Another tip that I recommend, and one I actually only discovered recently, is to take breaks. Take a lot of breaks, take frequent breaks, even if it's just 5 minutes to get up and walk around the house. That time is incredibly refreshing, and it gives your brain a small rest so that you can come back and perform at your top almost all the time. Getting sleep, something that a lot of people today shortchange themselves on, getting a good 8 hours is crucial. It's amazing the number of people I know that just don't sleep. They think they have to burn the candle at both ends to make ends meet, but the truth is if you get 8 hours, you can do twice the work in half the time. Eating, another thing, very simple, but another often forgotten factor. The more brain power you have, the better you can produce, and brain power comes from food. But when we're online often, we don't think about that. We forget to eat, or we eat the wrong foods, or we get hungry, and we get up and grab whatever's there. You really have to take time to take care of yourself first. And the productivity that comes from that is really phenomenal. It sounds common sense and stupid, but I really want to stress its importance.
No, I don't think it sounds stupid at all. I think it's something that it might be obvious, but it's probably overlooked because it's so obvious. And I know
think
that.
So. I think people try to say, you know, wow, we know that. Well, if you know it, do it. And do it for 2-3 weeks, and the results that you'll see are pretty amazing. Like I said, I didn't always do this myself, so I've been on both sides of the spectrum, but I can say it really has a major impact on productivity.
I think that there's also people feel like they have a bragging right if they do burn the candle at both ends. You know, I put in an 18-hour day yesterday, but really it isn't for anyone who has done it this way. You kind of feel sorry
absolutely.
For them.
There was an article recently in Canadian Business about the bragging rights that go along with sleep, and I read about some people who will sleep at their desk at the office in a shameful way. They just won't go home and just keep working, and if they nod off, it's a terrible thing. But, you know, what's more terrible to me is that brilliant people who can do amazing things and who have talents and creativity just cut off their own feet. Because they're trying to show how productive they can be. Productive isn't a badge anymore. Staying healthy, staying sane, and doing your best work, that's a badge of honor to me.
I like that, staying healthy, staying sane.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we wrap this up, what advice would you give to someone who is just starting out? They know that they want to be in this space. They know that they want to write. Where would you recommend they go? What would you recommend they do?
I would recommend that they disassociate themselves from their work. People who are creative tend to be personally and emotionally wrapped up in what they do, and it is one of their biggest roadblocks and creates a whole bunch of self-limiting beliefs and self-sabotage that keeps them small and keeps them hurting and keeps them doubting their abilities and themselves. Disassociate. Business is business. work is work. If a client doesn't like your copy, don't worry about it. It's okay. That's fine. They didn't like it. You're still worthy of what you do. You still do good work. This is huge. I see so many people succumbing to self-doubts that simply stem from that. They have too much of themselves wrapped up in their business. Once you have that settled and you understand it's just work, it's not about you, it's not personal, go out and keep trying. Keep trying, keep trying. Determination, persistence, sticking with it. It's going to be hard for at least 3 to 6 months, but you can do it. Don't worry too much about learning what you don't know. Stay on top of improving your skills. But what's going to pay off is that you were always there, you were always trying, and you never gave up.
James, those are two huge pieces of advice. I mean, the whole, I being on this end of it, being, you know, being a client, but also then being part of AWAI and talking to our members on a regular basis, the roadblock of that personal, taking everything personal about their writing.
Oh, it's just huge, just huge.
I hear it
there,
all the
there
time.
Are days, you know, I want to, I know I have a copywriting blog and it's all about doing better business, but there are days that I wish I could get into the psychology that's behind it all, simply because I think that's really a huge part of why people have so much trouble succeeding when they want to do this so much.
It sounds like it might be a calling.
There you go.
Well, James, thank you so much. This is a very, not only interesting and informative interview, but very, very useful. You've given some really solid advice.
Oh, I appreciate the opportunity. I'm glad you guys asked me, and I really hope that some people get some value out of this and you know, feel good about themselves and feel a little bit more to take control of their lives and stick with it and, you know, succeed where they should succeed. Everybody deserves that, and anybody can do that.
I know that they will get a lot out of this, so definitely thank you. And I hope to talk to you again soon then.
Great stuff. Thanks, Rebecca.
All right. Thanks, James. Bye, everyone.